Hi, I'm David Fettes, and this is part one of our study of education in the Introduction to Sociology. We'll be following the Wikibooks textbook. Education is a social science that focuses on teaching and learning specific skills. It's widely accepted that the process of education begins at birth and continues throughout life. Some believe that education begins even earlier than this, as evidenced by some parents playing music or reading to the baby in the womb. Actually, what we see here is already somewhat contrasting definitions. The first words say education is a social science. Well, what happens in the womb or what parents are teaching children at birth are not social science. Education is what's going on, and the social science is the study of that education that's happening all throughout life. At any rate, we'll move on. The word education is often used to refer solely to formal education, that is, schooling. However, it covers a range of experiences from formal learning to the building of understanding through day-to-day experiences. Ultimately, all that we experience serves as a form of education. Family members and society have a strong influence on a person's informal education. The word education is derived from the Latin educare, meaning leading out or leading forth. This reveals one of the theories behind the function of education, of developing innate abilities and expanding horizons. So one theory of education is that it's to lead out what's already in there, innate ideas and abilities, and then to develop those. Formal education occurs when society or a group or an individual sets up a curriculum to educate people, usually the young. Formal education can become systematic and thorough. Formal education systems can be used to promote ideals or values as well as knowledge, and this can sometimes lead to abuse of the system. Just a quick note, ideals are not always different from knowledge. Sometimes true knowledge can be knowledge of what God wants. And so true education has knowledge of real ideals and teaches those ideals as valued knowledge and not just the so-called objective facts like 2 plus 2 or what happened in 1843. So again, you have the secular split between ideals and values and facts, when in fact a more Christian point of view sees that there's correct ideals that are facts, and there are sometimes so-called facts that just aren't true. At any rate, formal education does, I think the intent of this statement is still pretty accurate, that formal education is not just trying to teach you facts, it's trying to shape you as a person and to shape what you value and what you aim for, whether those are good or bad ideals and values. It's trying to shape you and not just teach you objective stuff. Lifelong or adult education has become widespread in many countries. However, education is still seen by many as something aimed at children, and adult education is often branded as adult learning or lifelong learning. So they use the word learning instead of education when applying it to adults. Adult education takes on many forms, from formal class-based learning to self-directed learning. Formal class-based learning, for example, when I was in my 40s, I went back to school and earned a PhD. Other people may go back to class for a certification in a certain kind of computer programming. And so that's formal class-based learning. And then there's other things where you're not paying tuition or taking a class, but you just research on your own to learn. Lending libraries provide inexpensive, informal access to books and other self-instructional materials. Many adults also have taken advantage of the rise in computer ownership and internet access to further their informal education. So anytime you Google something, you're getting informally educated. Unfortunately, when you while your way looking away at some dumb website that has nothing of value, you're also becoming informally educated, but informally educated in trash. But anyway, the internet has given us great capacity for informal education as well as formal education. Right now, we're doing both. You're taking a class and you're doing it on the internet. So you're getting informal and formal all at the same time. Education as a science cannot be separated from the educational traditions that existed before. Education was the natural response of early civilizations to the struggle of surviving and thriving as a culture, requiring adults to train the young of their society into the knowledge and skills they would need to master, and eventually to pass on to the next generation beyond them. So every society, in order to survive, has to transmit certain realities and truths to the next generation. In pre-literate societies, this was achieved orally, storytelling from one generation to the next. As oral language developed into written symbols and letters, the depth and breadth of knowledge that could be preserved and passed along increased exponentially. If you could put stuff in writing, then you could put a lot of stuff in writing for people to pass along. If it was only in the stories and the statements that could be told and remembered, it was harder to transmit vast amounts of information, especially vast amounts of very sophisticated information such as histories or mathematics and things of that nature. So writing really advanced the cause of education. As cultures began to extend their knowledge beyond the basic skills of communicating, trading, gathering food, religious practices, etc., the beginnings of formal education, schooling, eventually followed. There's evidence that such schooling was already in place in Egypt somewhere between 3000 and 500 BC. Now, I'll let you in on a few things that the textbook doesn't when it comes to education. Christians have had a huge impact in the whole field of education, and Christianity has had a powerful educative impact for humanity. Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher who ever lived. When people heard him, they said he spoke as no one ever spoke before. And Jesus could speak with the greatest clarity about the deepest truths. And his followers were also people who emphasized teaching. Christians and education. Christians, just to give a quick flavor and then go into more depth, Christians began the movement to educate all people, girls as well as boys, poor people as well as rich. Christians kept higher learning alive in dark times, oftentimes by preserving and copying books. When many barbarian times were just destroying libraries and losing a lot of valuable knowledge, Christians took the lead in starting school systems. Christians started the world's greatest universities. And in fact, widespread education might not exist at all, at least widespread formal education, without the influence of Christianity. And I'll show why that's so. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Scripture says that pastors and elders must be able to teach and must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. So doctrine mattered. Truth had to be taught, error had to be identified and refuted, and that involves education. You've got to learn what God's truth is. You've got to learn also what some of the lies are so that you don't fall for them. And we need to teach everything that Jesus taught. So Christians put a high, high value on literacy and learning and on conveying truth. In the days before Jesus, of course, we know Jesus was born as a Jewish person into Jewish culture. The Old Testament and Jewish culture in general stressed knowledge and they stressed learning a trade, learning to earn your own living. And they stressed, above all, learning the Scriptures. And Christians carried on this tradition from their Jewish roots of knowledge, of learning a trade and working with your own hands, earning your own living, and knowing God's truth from the Bible. Something Christians did that the Jews had not done much of was they taught both sexes in the same setting, which was what Jesus had done. And this was quite a major step. Many of the Jewish leaders of Jesus' time had a prayer, "I thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman." And they said that teaching the law to women was like burning the law or defiling the law. Jesus taught women. You remember the story of Mary listening and learning at Jesus' feet. Mary, the good friend of Jesus, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And many other stories, too, of women who learned from Jesus and were involved with him in ministry. Christians formed schools to train leaders about the Word of God and about the world. So these schools that they formed were mainly with doctrine, but they also taught math and medicine and many other things. The great Christian universities all were founded by Christians. Bologna, Oxford, Paris, Cambridge, Heidelberg, Basel, these were some of the greatest universities and still are some of the great universities of the world, founded by Christians to convey Christian teaching. Almost all of the first 123 colleges and universities in the U.S. had Christian origins, including Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia. If you read the founding documents of those, they're always giving praise to God and the importance of teaching God's Word. And so Christians had a huge impact in the founding of Christian universities. Christians also expanded education beyond where it had been used. They expanded education so that disabled people could gain learning. A Paris priest invented sign language so that deaf people could learn the gospel and learn many other things. A Christian pastor established the first school for the deaf in the United States. Christians started homes for blind people, and Louis Braille invented an alphabet of raised dots to enable blind people to read. So Christians wanted boys and girls to be able to learn. They wanted people with various disabilities to be able to learn, and this had a huge impact on the whole realm of education and really liberated and equipped many people for success in life and for flourishing. Christian missions also had a tremendous impact on education, and not just in spreading the gospel, though that's very important. Many cultures to whom missionaries have gone had no written language, and so the missionaries created written words so scripture could be translated and read by the people. And a side effect of this was that people had now a written language, and they wrote down many of their own discoveries, much of their own history, and much of what they wanted to preserve. They put it into writing where it had not previously been. And missionaries also established many schools that exposed cultures to a variety of learning. So missions had a big impact on literacy in a whole variety of cultures. Missions expanded opportunity, we've already mentioned, help for the disabled, and teaching girls as well as boys, even though in many cultures boys were the only ones who were taught, and boys were the only ones considered important, or in cultures where the rich were the only ones who were considered worthy of educating and not the poor. Christians educated girls and the disabled. Christians wanted to help people who didn't have much money and much access to formal education. So they started Sunday schools to help poor non-Christian kids get educated. Today the term Sunday school is kind of associated with things that are held in churches for churched kids. But Sunday schools originally started to help unchurched kids learn the Bible and of Jesus, but also just get an education, period. Public schools were called public because they were open to the public, to people from every segment of society, but that does not mean that they were government schools in their origin. Early public schools were mostly run not by the government, but by Christian parents or churches, and they were called public schools because they were meant to help people of all segments of society, not because they were run or funded by the government. Well, government has gotten very involved in education. Basic education today is considered those skills that are necessary to function in society. And schools, in many cases, are run now by the government. Of course, there are still Christian schools and private schools, but government-run schools aren't just there to teach kids how to add and subtract, how to read, or to learn about history. A more critical view suggests, and this is coming even from a non-Christian, a more critical view suggests that mass public education has been used by governments as a way to instill in the minds of youth nationalism and patriotism, as well as obedience to authority. So the government has kind of its own agenda in the way schools are run as well. And so kids are going to become obedient little citizens of their government and not always taught to challenge the way things are done by their government. Business also has an agenda sometimes for education. It's not always a bad agenda, just as government. It's not always bad for government to have an agenda. To want good citizens may be a good thing. But it also means that government will be in danger of doing some propaganda and brainwashing if it goes too far in the way it does all of that. Business, too. Business corporations have advocated public education as a way to teach children to be obedient to managers. You learn to be good, sit still, do what your teacher tells you, and then when you get in the work world, your managers will tell you stuff, and you will do it like a nice student. To follow orders, to complete assignments, to show up for class on time, and other conditions that mirror a work environment. Now again, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's a thing to be aware of, that business has a certain way, and so if you're being trained for office jobs, they're going to sit you in a desk all day. And some people maybe weren't cut out to sit in a desk all day, and certainly not young boys who are really rambunctious. But sometimes business agenda will try to prepare kids at a stage where they're not quite ready for it yet. Is education neutral? Well, in this radical critique, according to the textbook, this radical critique of public education, schools are tools for coercing children to respect hierarchy and to fit them into the systems of the nation state and capitalism. That's kind of a harsh way of stating it, but there may be an element of truth to it, that government and business certainly have their goals for what happens in school. And it's not always coercing, although let's face it, lots of kids don't go to school voluntarily, and they don't do everything in class for the sheer joy of it. They do it because, well, they're forced to, which is coercing. So public education really is forcing a certain agenda on kids, and the main question is going to be, well, is that a sound or an unsound agenda? What needs to be done with it? And another question is it neutral? It's never neutral. It's serving the agenda of the government and of business, perhaps. It may also be serving an anti-religious agenda, or a religious agenda if it's being run by people of faith. Here's the upshot: education is never neutral. Always somebody controls it and has an agenda. In the Bible, parents are to be the main educators, and their agenda is to raise godly, wise people. We'll see more in our next segment on education.